part of the understanding on discernment is that evil spirits, which are these evil thoughts and feelings, have a master. It's like if you've ever seen the puppeteer with the puppet, little strings attached. There is a puppeteer here. There is a marionette master that is pulling the strings of these thoughts and feelings in our mind. And the Bible calls those evil angels. And they are interested in these thoughts and feelings working so that they are able to continue to get some life or the understanding of this whole work. Why do we want to stop evil thoughts? Because we're giving our life over to the devil, his evil angels, and we do not want to give our life to evil. We want to give our life to God so that God can use it for his purposes, not give it to the devil to use for his purposes.
Yeah, as people approach us out in the world, we don't take in anybody, everything they say, the scripture to go along with that, 1 John 4:1, where John writes, to the beloved, believe not every spirit, but try to spirit whether they be a God. And we have a tendency out in the world that our thoughts are our own, but in fact, evil's entered in, and that's what God's trying to teach us, is to try to spirit, try this thought, discern it, and see if it is of God.
Well, that's the second step. Yes, Winston.
Just an interesting perspective, the way the scriptures describe evil spirits are like thieves, and as we know in the natural, a thief doesn't come banging and clanging and always real obvious that he's around. It's more the sneaky, sly, and slimy way that he gets in and robs us of things we have that we value. And it's the same way in our head. They're very sneaky, they're quiet sometimes, and slimy, and they've robbed us of some joy or some love before we even knew what hit us.
So we had the comment over here from 1 John 4:1 to try the spirits, which means to discern or examine these spirits or these thoughts, these words that are both coming out of someone speaking to us. And we also need to examine those same words that have already gotten in our mind and might be working through us to speak out to someone else. Yes?
This is back on the motive again. Sometimes spirits will say, well, what does it matter what my motive is? And that shows a lack of understanding of how evil spirits can rob us, like we just heard. But it also shows, if it's a sneaky spirit trying to get by with something and it looks okay on the outside, so I don't have to worry about my motive is what the spirit is saying, then it shows a lack of God consciousness and that God really knows. God does see what's going on in our head, whether anybody else does or not. So we need to be aware of that. And there's a scripture, Hebrews 4:13, I believe, that says that everything is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So it shows we need to build some God consciousness. If spirits are saying, well, what does it matter?
Okay. So that was Hebrews 4:13. All things are naked and open unto God or the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Meekness seems to be good. Sometimes spirits block when you're trying to. If the spirit makes you, if you can't see what's going on, meekness opens things up so you can see better what's going on.
All right, there's a phase of spirit called meekness. The key in Psalms lets us know that meekness means to be teachable. So the meek will he teach his ways. If we're teachable, then we're saying, God, teach me about these thoughts. So definitely we have to be meek in order to even desire to learn what the discernment might be.
The spirits are very selfish. What they're doing and their actions and their activity is strictly to be able to gain more life. The temptations, the threats, the pressure is trying to put us in a situation that we yield to that temptation or yield to that selfishness, and therefore then they gain more life.
Yes. Wanting us to agree with them.
Right.
To yield our mind to them.
And Jesus never agreed to them.
Amen. Bless his heart.
Along with the scripture in 1 John where it says we're not to believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Well, some thoughts we have in our mind may be okay, so it is a discerning, which is trying the spirits. And another scripture with that is in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 or 21, which says prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
Amen.
So the proving all things is, again, use some discernment. What thoughts are going on at the time, or why am I doing this? That's proving it, checking it out. And if it's good, then we can go with it. If there's a question and it's evil spirit, then we know we can stop that.
That connects with, that was 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, and that word prove again in the Greek language was also translated into English as discern or examine. So, trailing right along with that line of thought in 1 John, where we had 4:1, he goes down a little further and said, thereby, or hereby, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here he's not just saying we can know the spirit of error, but we can know both the spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error. I believe that's 1 John 4:7, somewhere close to that. 6:4-6.
One thing a spirit, no matter if it's a minor or big or whatever, a spirit will say, well, that don't matter. Don't take it to discernment. That's when you want to go. Write it down. That's when you want to get to discernment, because you know that spirit wants to hide. And there's a hiding spirit you don't want to tell. But that's when you want to buck up against it and get to discernment.
So the evil angel that's pulling the strings does not want to be revealed. That should be something that we get very clear. The evil angel does not want his strategies, his tactics, his tentacles to be revealed. So whatever they can do to keep us from being honest, being meek, getting ourself into discernment. Now, you mentioned going to discernment. What does this mean, to go to discernment? Said we can't do it alone, so can someone talk about going to discernment?
That's going to a gift that God has grown in someone's mind that is able to help us separate us from the thoughts and feelings, but also to put a label on that thing. So that when it comes back knocking on our door again, like a nasty salesman that you don't want to open the door to, you don't have to open the door of your mind to that thought. It can be hurt, unloved, self-right. But it'll have a label on it that we'll be able to identify the feeling or the thought by, and we can say no with a label. No, you lying spirit, I'm not going to believe you. Or no, you're just an old hurt spirit, I don't want you anymore. So that gift can teach us how to label those things. And when we see them, then we can cast them out. But that gift can also give us a tool or a weapon to turn around and fight with. When it's a hurt spirit, fight it with, God loves me. The God of all love does not love me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. And put different lines
does
of
love. Love me, yes.
Yes, God does love me. Mercy, amen.
So you're talking then about going to discernment means going to talk with a person that has a gift of what Paul called in 1 Corinthians 12:10, discerning of spirits. We might also note that in Hebrews 4:12 it says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or motives of the heart. So here we have a connection that discerning spirit really is discerning the thoughts and the motives of our heart or our mind. And we can't do it alone. We need help from somebody that's been a little further along in school that God has prepared to work with us. And that will be for us a personal, private, confidential, one-on-one working together on finding the enemy. That particular gift is working with us. That gift is on our side, is working with us so that we, as they have done, can find the enemy. And Jesus didn't say that we're the enemy. Jesus said the enemy is the devil. So this gift of discernment is on our side. It's not there to condemn us. It's not there to laugh at us, tell us that we're stupid. It's there to help us zero in on the enemy, the devil, so that we can get power over the spirits, cast them out, and so on.
The evil angels don't want their tricks revealed, the evil spirits, and they may make us feel fear of going to discernment. So we can remember that discernment is our friend on our side. And there's a scripture that talks about the ministers of God are a terror, not to good works, but to evil works. So if we're feeling afraid, it's because the evil works are about to be terrorized.
Is that somewhere in Romans? Want to check that one out? See where that one is? And by the way, the scripture on who the enemy is in Matthew 13:39. Jesus said in this parable that the enemy that sowed the tares or the weeds into the field or the mind is the devil. We need any ammunition to know who the enemy is. It's not us, it is the devil.
Some other keys in the scriptures let us know that discernment separates good and evil. So discernment not only will point out the evil in our mind, but also shows us what is good. And the very key thing to remember always, no matter where we are, is we're going through the process of crucifying the old man, because we don't know these thoughts in our mind. They say, that's us. And discernment separates the thoughts from us and shows us that those things we have accumulated in our life, we've picked them up along the way, and they are not us. Discernment separates the spirit from the soul.
Amen. And when we, well, let's, without me doing it, what's another way we get discernment besides sitting down with the gift of discernment?
We get it by prayer. We get it by the laying on of hands. Here we have another gift, and this is for praying for people. If we look throughout the scriptures, Jesus laid hands on people many times that we're not even aware of. It will say that he touched this person or he touched that person, and that was transferring spirit to that person. We can get prayed for by the laying on of hands to get some of this discernment spirit transferred to us. And then we can pray to God for God to increase that spirit of discernment that we have gotten planted in our mind. And going to discernment doesn't have to start with going to a gift of discernment. It can start with going to discernment in our head and asking God, show me what you can about these spirits. Help me see it. Help me understand it. Help me ask the right questions. What am I supposed to be looking for? And then we can go to a gift of discernment and get further revelations on it. But the discernment in our own head is our friend. It wants to help us too. God wants to help us.
Probably the reason that we are here is because we prayed to God to help me figure out why I can't do what I want to do, and I'm doing the things I don't want to do. So that prayer was there, and that's what God is so interested in teaching us. This is like going to school. There are grade levels of growing our discernment understanding. We had some before we came, but not enough to get the job done. So God's putting it all together so that we can not have anything to keep us from getting where we want to be.
The servant will have two hands that he helps us with in the Old Testament. It talked about these people that had a warring tool in one hand and another hand the building. And so after the servant helps us to separate the spirits and the thoughts in our mind, he'll give us the opposite of what to build the kingdom of God. On the other hand, the tools being what faces the spirit, the opposite of hate would be love, and there's always opposites. Mm-hmm. From the evil, that there's always the good side, and pretty soon God also starts a pattern of the good, that when these evils start, then there's a pattern of good that you can also pull on to counteract.
Amen. Previews of the afternoon. All right.
The other way we get discernment is by applying what we study in our Light Up Online, because that Word of God will help us to discern our thoughts and also the motives, the intents of the heart. So it is not just to sit back and take class and look at it as something that happened to some people 2,000 years ago and how bad those scribes and Pharisees were and how silly those disciples were when they asked Jesus those questions, but to make it practical in our own mind and reflect on the things that we're studying and see how it applies to us and make it a practical thing rather than just something that's there on the page. And that's going to help grow our discernment by leaps and bounds, because they had to go through the same process when they were being taught by Christ. We're going, it's a very identical process we're going through. We're in a modern world, but the spirits haven't changed a bit. They're the same as they were 2,000 years ago.
Another way is by dreams. It says in Philippians that if we're any otherwise minded, I think it's 3:15, God will reveal this to us. And so just as God gave Joseph dreams to protect the Christ child when his life was in danger, then God can give us dreams to protect whatever amount of Christ we have in our mind. If we're not aware of evil spirits, then God can reveal that to us in a dream.
Sometimes our mind is so busy during the day that God waits till we're quiet, asleep even, and we'll put a dream through, and then for some reason, wow, we remember that, and God encourages us to write the dreams down. Instead of laying there, then getting off on other things and forgetting them, write them down, double space, leave a little room for interpretation, because God has the gift of interpreting dreams in this ministry that can use the same discernment tools, the same keys of understanding to interpret the symbolism of what God's message is to us in our mind while we're asleep, so that we can go ahead and apply that, as was just said, to work it in our everyday life, some aspect that we may not have been able to see.
So back to the growing it, two other words would be, the initial one that we started off with, strong meat belongs to those who are full age, you know, their senses exercised, both exercise and trust, that it's one thing to even go through part of these works, whether it's going to discernment or doing line upon line or even writing down a dream and getting the knowledge or the education side of it, and then this other thing entirely to actually exercise it in our head, sort of like the difference between sitting on the sidelines and understanding the game of football versus getting in and doing it, and actually getting the exercise while you're doing it and finding out how it really does work. So it's one thing to get the knowledge, and it's another thing to, okay, this is this thought in my head, and this is how I stop it, and this is going to stop, and like the rest of the things we're going to go on here or discuss here, but also the trust issue that the scriptures tell us that God trusted in Christ, first trusted in Christ, and the reason that he trusted in him was that what God gave to him, Christ hung on to and kept it from getting perverted and used it correctly in his own life so God could give him more. Well, if we go through some of this education stuff and then it just gets lost on us and we give it up and never use it, well, then God can't trust us, so he can't give us more. So we stop the growth process by not really working it, not really, this is the time, this is the spirit, right now it's working, but we never stop it. And so God can't trust us. What's the point? It's just throwing his spirit down a rat hole, and he can't give us anything more. So it's exercising and bringing in the trust issue.
Amen. Getting quite a list here. Faces of spirit we need to be working. We might get all 49 before we're done.
We have something here called an infilling, and where you can, the scriptures talk about groaning in the spirit, and you can ask God for whatever you, if you don't know exactly what you need, you can ask God for what you need by that means, which is another way of laying on of hands and transferring spirit.
Praise God. Get an infilling of God's Holy Spirit, which takes a little trust, takes a little meekness, takes a little faith to allow God to come into our mind by way of His Spirit and just immerse us or flood us or fill us, whatever term might be graphic for you, with His Spirit. And it may not be a long-term thing where we are filled with the Holy Spirit the rest of our life from that point, but It'll be like filling up our gas tank with gasoline, and that will take us for a while, and then we'll want to fill back up some more until we grow enough to have a regenerating set of 49 phases of spirit working within us.
The verse I referred to earlier about the ministers aren't the charity good works is Romans 13:3, and there it refers to, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And in the next verse, in 4, he says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good.
Praise God. Romans 13:3 and 4 on what God's minister's motive is, that is to do good, not to be a terror to you or to do evil.
Confession, made worthy of repentance. And then that sets up those spirits to be able to be casted out. That it's not we just confess on little white lies or just this little thing or this little thing, but meet worthy of repentance.
Okay, that's taken from Matthew 3 or Mark 1, where John the Baptist, who was a prophet of God, had worked in this gift of discerning the spirits, said to some of the people, bring forth therefore fruits, meet or right, for repentance, worthy to be confessed on. And they did, some of the people did come to him confessing their sins. So we're kind of tapping on another little door here. Confession. It's not just going to the gift of discernment and saying, well, I'm here. Tell me about my life. We're there because we've got things that are hurting us. It's like you're going to the doctor. You don't just go to the doctor and say, guess what, doc? And expect the doctor to guess what your problem is. You're there to tell them, well, I got this hurt and that, and I did this one day, and this happened, and that happened, and gee, what's wrong? And so there will be different tests that the doctor puts you through. Well, discernment is there in the same way. We need to confess on the feelings, the thoughts, the situations that we've been involved in, so that the gift of discernment will have something to work with, have something to go on, to say, well, that sounds like this particular spirit, or this particular pattern, or this particular kind of a setup. So that's part of the work, is confessing. That means speaking those words out. In 1 John 1, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We may have experienced praying to God alone or in a public assembly, and there was a, I confess all my sins. Cleanse me, God. Well, that's a general, generic, whatever they are, God, you know, take them away. Well, God wants us to know what each sin or each evil spirit is, how it got in, how it's been working, how we'll know it's gone because it won't be working. So there's a confession that goes on in this discerning process.
When that process actually works and you're in a situation where when you are talking to discernment about the thoughts that you have had, it is a recognition that you know what has been going on in your mind and not asking discernment to tell you what's been going on in my mind all week, because discernment doesn't follow us around. And even if they did, there'd be no way for them to know the different thoughts that we have in our mind because they're invisible. But we're sitting in there and we can make that recognition. But when that happens, and we catch those things going through there, that is a recognition that we know that that's an evil spirit. And when we know that that's an evil spirit, that gives us so much more power over them. Those evil spirits know, we know. And that's when judgment can occur.
Praise God. Amen. We know, and it knows we know.
Amen. Along with the idea of what we know, and God, like it said, all things are open unto the eyes of whom we have to do with. And also in Galatians 4:7, it says that God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. So he's not deceived. We don't want to be deceived with a thought in our mind that's covering over and deceiving us. And then also in James 1:22.
So that other one was Galatians 6?
6:7.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And in James 1:22, it says, "But be ye a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self." So to put this discernment into practice, otherwise we are kidding, fooling, we have an evil spirit fooling us, and it's going to take our life.
Along with what was being said about the individual needing to confess and the individual needing to get the recognition that the Spirit has worked, evil spirits, on the other hand, would try to say, well, let discernment do all the work. And there's a scripture that's been given on that, that's Hosea 13:2, where they were saying, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. So that's the priest's job. Let him figure it out. Let the discernment vessel tell me what's been going on in my head all week. Well, there's not much education for us if it's all coming through the other track and it's not being worked in our own head. God wants us to build it in our own head.
Just because so many of us have come out of denominations where we've been told to confess we're a sinner, it's very important. That's obvious to God. That's obvious just looking at the scriptures. We're sinning. We are sinners. But it's very specific. It never does say that in the Bible, confess you're a sinner. God knows that already. It's confess your sins. Be very specific in your sins.
Amen. Amen. So you're making the point that we're not a sinner unless we sin. Alright, so we don't start off a sinner. We become a sinner because we sinned, so we need to confess on the sins and stop sinning so that we are free of sin. How does this work?
In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says, "We are not ignorant of his devices," referring to Satan, "lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices," or we know what the spirits are.
All right, so Paul, as a minister of this new covenant, had learned Satan's devices. The world was still ignorant. People that had not been given this gospel message that Christ brought were still ignorant. They might not even have had the Ten Commandments of the law that told people what sin was. But here Paul is saying we are not ignorant, and that's because of teaching work had gone on, a praying work, a discerning work had gone on of how evil works in the mind.
A couple of points. There's a really neat scripture in Ezekiel 44:23, where it prophesies that God would
send priests to teach his people the difference between the holy and the profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So God wants to teach us the difference. And it is true, we're ignorant, meaning we just haven't been taught how to do that. But God will teach us. And part of the way he does that is by just this list up here, which if we look at that real closely, we're going to see a lot of gifts in there. The gift of laying on of hands, gift of teacher, not just the gift of discernment that indeed is there, the gift of interpretation of dreams. So God wants to teach us. And he wants to build some strength and gifts in people's minds so others can be taught the difference between the holy and the profane. And that's not talking about the difference between one group of people and another group of people. That's talking about what's in our head, the difference between what we want to hold on to and what we want to get rid of or not feel any longer.
And we should be thankful because there's a lot of people out there that spend $150, $50 an hour just to get what we got here,
mm-hmm.
and they still don't get as much as we get.
Amen. That's how desperate some people are, and some of us were, in trying to get help, was spend somebody's cash for $50, $60, $80, $100 an hour to have somebody tell us that, well, that's this psychosis or neuroses, and take this medication, and we really weren't too much better off for it in terms of the getting rid of the problem, never able to get to the cause, simply because they haven't been taught
to know that these thoughts in people's minds are not the people. Those thoughts have entered in, they can be discerned, and they can be cast out, not just suppressed or substituted for.
If we want help to really see a spirit working in our life, we can ask God to show us the spirit. And it can be just as informal as that. God, help me see the spirit. But there's also another tool. We should never leave off the pulling on the face of spirit discernment. Absolutely, because spirits want us to pull on anything but discernment to see evil spirits. But God has another phase of spirit that can make spirits very apparent, which is the phase of spirit patience. And the phase of spirit patience, in general, will work to germinate things in our head, whether it be Holy Spirit or evil spirit. It will germinate, in this context, we're talking about evil spirits, it will bring an evil spirit to a head. It will make it very apparent. And God's technique for that is not, He will not damage us by doing that. He will not make us lose our job. He will not blow up our life. But He has a whole heavenly host that are very clever at a sort of hit-and-run tactic of getting us in a situation, and then all of a sudden, these feelings will fly up in our face very loudly, very apparently, and then they will lay down. And we will have a chance to say, well, what do you know? I bet those are spirits. It will be very apparent to us. We can be very clear on it. It doesn't have to be a, gee, discernment keeps saying I have this kind of spirit and I just can't seem to see it, or spirits always hide from me, or I'm never sure what my motive is. If we want to know, God can make it very obvious.
We have a lot of Bible classes around here where we study tapes or we get taught, and then we think about what we've been taught, and then we teach it back to a checker so they can verify that we have the right understanding. And sometimes we forget that that's the same thing that's going on in a discernment session, a confession situation. It really is a line-upon-line class of a sort where we have studied, done some work and studied about some cobwebs of evil spirits, and now here's our chance to check it out, check it back, teach it back. So the checker in a Bible study class already understands the verses. They don't need to be teaching us. That's our chance to teach it back and see if we have the right understanding. So the same in a confession situation. The discernment gift doesn't need to learn about the evil spirits. They already know. It's us that needs to teach it out, give it out, see if it's right, be open for correction. So it is a class situation.
Amen. So one way we can start this discernment process is to get a discernment notebook. If we don't know how to start this, how to go about taking different things to discernment, and evil spirits won't like to do this. They'll say write it down later. But if you're in a hit-and-run accident, you need to get the license plate down right then, the type and make of the car, the person, what they look like. And if you try to remember 3 hours later, you won't remember. And so if evil spirits barrage us and we don't sit down and write it down, when we get set up for discernment a week later, we're going to go, well, I felt bad. And discernment will say, well, what were your thoughts? Well, I don't remember. So it's important for us to write down what we felt, what went on in our mind, what that person said, and the more input we can give discernment, then the more we're going to get a lot more out of discernment. So it's important to be very faithful and obedient if we're serious about crucifying our own man, and keeping this discernment notebook, a little one we can carry in our purse or our pocket, and we can just pull out and write in it.
All right, you catch that. Write them down. They go through our minds so fast, and then there's so many hundreds of more thoughts that go through after that, that the way to stop, capture that thought so it's there to be studied and talked about later, is to write it down. Whether it's a thought, whether it's a feeling, if you can write down a little portion of the event that was at the corner of High and 4th Street where the car hit me, something that would help bring to your remembrance what the setup was. We hear the term quite a bit, setup. We get set up by evil spirits.
so we can get the setup as well as the thoughts and feelings.
The scripture in Amos 4:13 says that God's able to declare unto man what is his thought. So that's real specific, that God is the one that can and will declare it to us through all these different avenues we've been talking about. So there can be some trust in that. There's not going to be any that can escape if we truly want these thoughts revealed. And another thought on this notebook, writing things down as the instruction has been given to us in this ministry to do, is that's the part of what's going to help us work discernment. It helps us work discernment in that you have to work through thoughts to know what even happened, what I felt, to even get it down on paper. So it in effect really does help us work discernment and write it down, and also it helps force us to be honest about what we said, what we felt, what really happened in the situation. So we're working honesty, and we're also working obedience to write it down, and we're working discernment, most of all.
That's also step one of the honesty. The other is step two. When you're in discernment, you have it written down. See how many thoughts come up to skip over this one. And I don't need to go over that page today. I mean, I'm with this person, and they're in a female body, and of course I'm a male, and they probably wouldn't understand that I have this thought or that thought. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, or the common afflictions that we all have. Evil spirits are evil spirits. They hit male, they hit female, they hit old, they hit young, and God's gifts are able to work with whatever old man comes along.
So when we get our notebook and we start writing things down, we're not supposed to write out everything that he did or everything that she did, and he said this and he said that and he won't pick up his underwear and all these different things. But it's if that person doesn't do this or if that person does something else, it sets off a barrage in our mind. That's where the honesty really works, is what's going on in here.
Okay, so you're saying not to write down all the problems that we're having with all the people around us because of what they do. It's the reaction that goes on in our mind. How am I reacting to whatever is going on around me?
Discernment will also show us another real good barometer to really want to find out what kind of spirits we have. Look at how badly we hate the very actions and things that others do. If we've got something that just really gets our goat that someone else does or says, then that's a very good indicator that that spirit is sitting in our very own mind.
All right. So that's a feeling. Hatred is a feeling.
If we have any problem, and we will, if we have a crucified or old man with personal spirits, then that's one thing that the notebook will help, because writing these spirits down in the notebook will make it seem more like, yeah, the spirits are there on the table. They're still in my head, all right, but at least we can look at them more objectively and less personally involved. And there's another thought. You mentioned 1 Peter, the fiery trial. Well, there's lots of spirits that want us to be ashamed about confessing on this to another person. Well, it's really a gift and a vessel. You're really confessing to God, but it's a teaching gift, a discernment gift in the vessel that's dealing with you at the time. And we don't have to feel like we're confessing to a person, but to God in that sense. And there's a scripture that says there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The discernment vessel has probably heard all of this stuff before anyway in one form or the other, so we don't have to feel like we're Johnny Lonesome. We're the only person that ever had these spirits, and oh my, how awful, and they're going to hate me when they hear all this stuff coming out of my mouth. Because the discernment gift, it shows not very much trust in the discernment gift if we have spirits that think that they can't discern between us and the evil spirits wrapped around us, because that's what the discernment gift is all about, is to differentiate and to teach us to differentiate between the soul and the spirit, like the scripture you might have started out with, Hebrews 4:12. No, you didn't start out with that one. Anyway, Hebrews 4:12 says that this discernment sword will divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. It will get at those personal spirits that want to take things, take these evil spirits personally and blame us for all of this crap that got put in our mind that we didn't ask for in the first place.
In addition to the thought about reactions that we have to what we see somebody else doing, particularly a good barometer is our reaction to what we see children doing. That as it, children are, they don't have the spirits that cover things over. That when you're a child, if you don't want to play with somebody, you tell them that. When you're an adult, you just avoid them. You smile when you're calling somebody a jerk. When you're a child, the real emotion is there. So our reactions to what we see in children are usually a pretty good barometer of what's in our head. Also on the discernment book, we're specifically working to catch thoughts in our head. And so the more specific we can be about what the words were in our head, not only is it a good exercise for us to start to control our mind, but it's going to teach us what words the spirits use on us in particular. And we'll start to be able to pick up catchphrases that may be different in our head than they are in somebody else's head. But when you hear those words, you know that the spirit really is calling you stupid. It may be using some little different phrase, or why, or how, or just the same or particular word in a particular way. And you start to pick up that pattern so that you don't have to listen to a whole line of thought before you discern what the spirit is saying. You can catch that first phrase. Also, when it's on paper, it starts to look more silly. And it becomes easier to laugh at the spirit when it's out there and you're looking at it on paper. It's a little bit more silly and not quite as truthful and serious, and that's the way it is. It sounds in our head. When it's on paper, we can also do a little bit more historical digging. As in, this is what's going on now. Where have I heard this before? Even to the point of, like a lot of us were told early on, playing like Sherlock Holmes. And what you're trying to dig on is, okay, what happened when I was 1 year old, or what happened when I was in the first grade, or what happened when we lived in this house and in that house, and when I had this teacher. Is you're going through a historical thing of what pops into my mind when I think about the first grade or this school or that house. And anything that comes popping into the head is there for a reason. It's important somehow. So learn to look at it. So it's not just, particularly early on, it's not just the situations right now that we find, but doing a little historical digging on, who said this to me before, where did I feel that before, and just starting to make those connections that this isn't the first time I felt this thing. Mm-hmm. And try to do some digging to find out where it came in. And also, same thing on in terms of the notebook on dreams. A lot of times we'll have a dream and it'll wake us up. So therefore, it's obviously pretty important that the spirit will try to talk us out of writing the dream down. So whatever technique we need to use, to have a piece of paper by the bedstand. Some of us have tried to use tape recorders.
Where's the water tape?
But if you can get a couple, sentences or words down, then maybe you can remember it the next morning.
Praise God. Yes.
One of the things the evil angel will tell us is that you can't really bring every thought down on a piece of paper. You can't really get a hold of all these thoughts. And one of the scriptures to fight that is in 2 Corinthians 10, where it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So God's not going to write down something in the scriptures that's impossible for us to do. It says casting down imaginations, which could have been translated thoughts, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. A thought that says you can't get a hold of every bad thought, that's a lying evil spirit coming right from an evil angel. So God has got scriptures that say we can do it.
So that's 2 Corinthians 10:5.
10:5.
Every thought.
Same line of thought, different scripture, Philippians 4:15. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you.
3:15?
Okay. Anyway. Point being, again, the Spirit says, no, you can't. It's impossible. No, you can't. But if we do our part of the bargain, which is to be honest, to take the thoughts in when they're stirred up, God will be very faithful on his side of it, which is making sure they do get stirred up. We have every opportunity.
So we need to cooperate. We need to cooperate with God. Let him do his work, and he will. But it's a two-party process. We're going to have to cooperate.
So basically what was just being said is that that's a hopeless spirit that's trying to work in your mind. And that the trust is what you need to trust in God, that he will fulfill those scriptures that he promised, that he will reveal those things. So it's a twofold thing here. Spirits are trying to take our trust away from God and tries to make us feel hopeless. And a way to really dig out the spirits is to go in to a discernment session after having done the work ourselves with the attitude that I'm here to draw on this gift of discernment. That's my reason for being here. I want to find out what's going on here. And it's just like when we pull on the face of the Spirit from God, it's been said to put a suction on God. Well, it's the same thing with this gift we're working with. It's not a personal thing we're in here for. It's for us to put a draw on that gift. And if that draw is there, then God will do that revealing that he promised. And it gets back to our motive for being there again. Our motive's right, and we've got that draw there. The discernment gift will feel it, and things will come through that gift, and we'll get whatever we need to make that spirit very clear, very evident in our mind.
Before we get too much into the digging, one other thing on going to the gift of discernment with another person, we're not going to know that person. And they're not going to know us in terms of having grown up together and buddy-buddied around and so on. And evil spirits are going to make us feel uncomfortable being with another person telling about things that seem to be so private, so personal, so secretive that we think we've been bad over. So that's a hurdle in itself to have the faith that this is God's work, part of God's process for revealing evil spirits, and that what would we do? What would we say? Would we say, I'll do anything to get rid of this hell that's in my mind? Have we heard that go through our mind? I'll do anything. Well, here we are. Here's the way to do it. This is anything.
Amen.
This is something.
Amen.
It's work for others. So, what do we got to lose? What do we have to lose? The main thing we have to lose is our old man. Thank God we will lose him in the process.
I don't know if this idea has been given already, but one line of thought that evil spirits will use to try to keep us from going to a gift discernment is they weren't there when I was a kid. They don't know. They weren't in my mind. They don't know what I've been through. There's no way for them to understand. Well, part of the learning process for us is that there are only so many kinds of evil spirits. Just as there's only 49 phases of God's Holy Spirit, there's only so many evil spirits, and there's only so many different combinations and ways they work. They work in a lot of different situations, but it's the same evil spirits that work, and they work the same way consistently. So that discernment vessel has been through some of those cobwebs, and we were put together for a reason.
Amen. Okay.
Could something be said along the same line, another spirit that's out there that would keep us from exercise of mind control by having some dirty deed in the past in their hip pocket, and therefore they can control people? Could something be said on that?
What do you have to say on that?
Well, it just hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened. All right. God does not use blackmail.
Amen.
That is, again, something if we have that information from other movies or stories about other groups where people always seem to get stabbed in the back. We've all been there.
We've all told a confidence to a friend or to an acquaintance, to this person or that person, and it came back around on us. And we felt stabbed in the back, which is why the fear would be able to work in our mind now, is because we've had that experience. There's some place for that spirit to sit within our head, and that will be part of the trust that grows. That, check it out. And that spirit will probably just wait and wait. I'm sure they're going to get to me sometime. Hasn't happened yet. Yes?
Something else on the gift of discerning spirits. When we go into a discernment vessel and confess the evil spirits, it's not like the discernment vessel is going to ponder and think upon and dwell upon anything that's been confessed. God has protection over that gift, so that if that gift is working, and it is, if we're put into discernment with someone, that is shut off when that discernment session ends. God protects the discernment vessel and the person doing the confessing. And the only time that comes back through the mind again is if you're in discernment with that person again. Even if it's been 4 or 5 years, God can have that programming, and Zoom comes that thought through, and there hasn't been any thinking about that thought. So we don't have to worry. If God's discernment gift, God protects that.
Another thing that can get in the way of going through the discernment gift is they go judging the spirit, thinking, well, that person's going to either go out and tell someone, or that person's going to think this or think that, so they have to pull on a whole lot of mercy for our own soul, so that we can know that they're having mercy for us, and to help us.
Which is part of the cobweb that we'll get into on judging and fear and different things, huh?
In addition to the comment made by Diane's track on the way that discernment works, or the gift of discernment works, it might just be added that the person who happens to be working in a gift of discernment is going through the process also, either crucifying their old man or in a battle in a creative day death with an evil angel, and they are just as earnest about not wanting evil spirits in their mind as a person that's confessing to them. So why would they want to think on that kind of material? And the answer is they don't. So again, it's another safety valve that God has given to this particular group of people. And one thing that makes this group of people and the ones that are working in the gift different than what happens in the world is the depth of spirit that we're actually working in, where the confidences can't be held in a breath of life depth or in a day two religion, maybe a little bit deeper in a day two religion, but they can be held in grace depth and a glory depth.
Amen.
Another idea on how you can grow your discernment is by service and the preaching gifts. You don't have to wait till you go to discernment to hear a particular line of thought, or it could come from anywhere. You don't have to wait till you've had the book of James to get those discernment lines of thought. You can get more of the whole picture from listening to the different gifts.
Please, discussing everybody. I just think this is, I've been to some other classes and courses for a period of time. This is the only one that I actually listen to that goes into detail. I think if it's shared more and it's open more, we will open more. I know that I, for myself, like you said a while ago, the war and this horror, this hell in your mind and everything. And, I think that I'm more confident going and sharing if I know that the person has the ability to be able to help me. See, and if I go to someone else because of so spread out so wide, I go, and then I'm caught up in the pride, the shame, the humility, but there comes a point in your life that the pain is so great, it doesn't matter anymore. And so you want that freedom.
You'd like to go to a specialist.
Yes.
God is the specialist, and he's developing specialists with gifts to do the brain mind surgery that is needed.
Just a thought on going through discernment and being set up with a particular individual, keeping in mind we strive not to look to individuals. And if anybody is in a discernment gift, it's not because they're a smart person. It's because God is or some way able to work through that gift. And even if that person wasn't raised with us, God was around, and he knows how things were planning, and he is a discerner, and it's God's gift that he can operate through.
And God wants whatever is in the discernment gift's mind to get into our mind.
Amen.
It's not to sit back and keep it secrets. God wants us all to be of one mind. So it's a sharing, it's a giving, it's a here. I can tell you whatever God put through this gift to help you grow that within your own mind.